Hey guys, welcome to Jen Talks. This is episode 11, and our title is He Trumps Me. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Katie.
And I'll let Katie tell you why we came up with that title.
A little play on words. Friday is Inauguration Day, mm-hmm. and we have a new president coming in to the house. We're going to, not like right now this podcast, but just have been and will continue to pray him mm-hmm. up. Because it's a huge task to take on.
For anybody.
And so I think that we are in for a new day, and it has nothing to do with the person in office.
Yeah.
That whoever won, that God will use them and do what God chooses to do in a good sort of mm-hmm. way. I think harvest is on the way. And that's my word. Mm-hmm. But with harvest comes people that want to put dirt in your wells and the enemy that will use people and things. So we're going to be praying at Trump mm-hmm. and continue to do so for his administration. And so we're using his name. Yeah. But the he trumps me. He is God and me is us. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Caitlin that my oldest, who is 20, he was in Tuscaloosa at school. In every place that he has lived, on his bathroom mirror, he has written he with an arrow up. And then me with an arrow down. And so it kind of went along. And it is a reminder to him every day that God's plans mm-hmm. trump his plans. That God trumps me.
Yeah.
And that when we are submissive, and we hate that word in this mm-hmm. culture, to be submissive. This morning I almost wrote something about Jesus. That when we try and present this tame Jesus mm-hmm. to people, that we really do, we're misrepresenting him.
That's putting him in a box.
Right, mm-hmm. and I just think about oceans, and I think about just wild animals and mm-hmm. the beauty of nature, and that it is not tame. Mm-hmm. And so I looked up tame, and what was interesting is tame was submission that someone makes you submit. It's a tameness that makes you useful to humanity. Mm-hmm. But it's somebody forces you it. Like you are made to be. It's not tame as in just being submissive or surrender. It is a mate. And I was like, no, when Jesus laid his life down, God didn't make him do it.
Yeah.
Like it was, he was completely untamed. He just surrendered and was a servant for us. And so.
Because he wanted to.
Yeah. And so I just thought about, I don't know, the God that trumps us.
Yeah.
Is such a kind God. And I'm so glad that his plans trump. And then there's that verse in James that talks about mercy triumphs.
Mm-hmm.
And over judgment. And makes that word comes into play again for me. I was always like, you know, mercy trumps judgment.
That's really good. That's really good. Mercy trumps judgment.
This I've always kind of gotten mercy and grace mixed up, the definitions.
Yeah.
Well, in prayer this morning, in our 21 mm-hmm. days of prayer, you haven't listened yet, right?
No, not yet.
But Hamp gave the best definition that I haven't heard in a while that I think I can wrap my mind around right now. But that mercy is when we don't get something that we deserve. So we have committed the crime that normally you would get. I'm saying this to help you mm-hmm. remember it. Like 5 years imprisonment. And the judge says, you know what? I'm going to give you mercy and give you 2 years of community service instead. Mm-hmm. Okay, grace is when we get something that we do not deserve.
Yeah.
And it's I was opposite. Like, that helped me so much.
That helps too. That's like,
I sometimes use them interchangeably.
That's like someone giving you $500 for no reason.
For no reason.
That's just grace.
That's grace.
Yeah, and that's Jesus giving us eternity when we don't deserve it.
Nope.
And not giving us.
And taking all of the payment.
Yeah. Not that we deserve. Not making our us pay full, for our sins.
Our full sentence. He took it.
And that's mercy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That we aren't going to be in hell for the rest of our lives because of him. Yeah. That's a really good explanation of that. I've just been really, during 21 Days of Prayer, which I missed this morning because of it's a very long story that I told Katie earlier, but there was some kind of something going on at my apartment complex last night, and my roommate and I had to call the cops, and we were up till 2. And anyway. No matter. Everyone is safe, I guess. We hope, but we're not sure what happened with the man who was outside yelling and banging on doors. But screaming for help. So I did actually, when she was calling the cops, I just kind of prayed, like, well, whatever's going on, I hope, like, I just pray he's okay. Like, God, just kind of handle it. And after that is when I calmed down, because I was like, there were 7,000 things going through my head, like, that could have been happening. And
The mama in me is telling you, you were very wise to not mm-hmm. open the door.
Yeah.
Just girls.
That's what my mom said,
too.
You
didn't go into savior mode.
No.
You were wise to call the cops.
Yeah, it was a very weird. Yeah,
or as far as you know,
yeah, I'm not sure what was up with the cops, but anyway,
they probably did. You just
maybe they did late, yeah, and just checked it all out, and nothing was going on, but
or if it was, they addressed it.
Took care of it. So anyway, that's why I didn't get up and go to prayer, but I'm gonna listen to it later. But during 21 Days of Prayer, I have been in the process of buying a house with my fiance for when we get married, and it was. I think I talked about last time just the way that the devil has been using it to attack us because we have been using it like out of faith so much. It's been going like both ways. So we've been praying over it more than we've probably prayed over anything in a while just because it's been like a huge decision. And so he has really used that to try to get in between us and tear us apart. But we didn't get a house that we really both thought we were going to get and that probably would have been a good decision and was, you know, by the world standards. I mean, the realtor even said, you won't find anything better than this. And I just kind of like smirked when he said that because you don't know Jesus. Like, you don't know my Jesus. You don't know that he is already has something better for me. And if he's telling me not to do it, his plan is better than mine. Like, if I would have, I remember writing down like, thank you for discernment and thank you for guidance, because if I would have done my plan, we would have been in a house that was too expensive, that I didn't love, that wasn't in the best location. And since I like surrendered, and it wasn't easy, I didn't want to, but since I surrendered it to him, he ended up showing us a house that we actually bought and we're closing on it in March that is so much better. It's a better house for a cheaper price. And that was just such a little like God wink to me. Like, how does that make sense? It's literally a better house for way cheaper than we were about to pay for a different one. And that's just so God. Like, he's giving us more for less.
Have you ever seen it's either a picture or a commercial, but it's a dad leaning over to his little girl and he's wanting her to hand over the little teddy bear.
Oh yes. The picture.
And behind his back is a massive teddy bear. Like, yep. But she has to give up the little one mm-hmm. first.
And she doesn't want to. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I've also heard it, same idea, but like it's a little duck flapping mm-hmm. around in a puddle. Mm-hmm. And just over the hill is the ocean.
Yeah.
And it's just as happy as it can be in the puddle, but it's going to have to leave the puddle.
Yeah.
To go over the hill to reach to the be, ocean.
Yeah, I think that's so good because that we sometimes, yeah, even when our plan is okay.
And we would settle for the puddle. And I'm not talking bigger's always better.
No.
It's just the greatness of his plan.
Yeah.
Trumps.
Because his plan is bigger.
Oh, yes, yeah. It's kingdom. It's yeah. So kingdom.
And we can have the puddle, which like to me is like that house. Like we wouldn't have been miserable. We would have been happy. Right. It would have worked. It would have been fine. But there was something in my spirit saying like, there's more. Like, I promise there's more. He just kept telling me to wait. And I don't like to wait. I like to just get things finished and be done with it. But he was like, just please wait. There's more. And I actually, the blog I wrote was wait, there's more. And it was just about that whole experience. And he dropped little hints all day long just telling me, like, please hold on. I promise you're going to get something better. And I did. And that was like one of the biggest things in my life. Even though it was so trivial as buying a house, it was a big decision, and that was, like, one of the most real moments of my faith in my life, because it was, like, I finally just kind of, like, prayed about it, did what he told me, and surrendered. Oh, it's up on our city on a hill.
That was her blog post. Yay. Was our city on a hill, like, our community site that brings up the God colors, just unity in our community in Christ. But was wait, there's more. It was your post. And when she wrote this, you didn't have your house yet.
No, I didn't have my house yet.
You didn't know the rest of the story. Yeah. You were totally trusting. Yeah. Oh, which will be in the show notes.
Super cool, yeah.
Because it's a great read. If y'all just...
I wrote it the day that we walked away from the first house, actually. Because I had gone kind of back and forth, even when I said no, even when I knew... excuse me, that I wasn't supposed to get that house. Even when I knew God had clearly told me, I feel like I do that. I feel like we all do that. We still are like, wait, are you sure?
We go back. Okay, there's a story in the Bible that reminds me of, and I feel like it was the whole talking donkey story, but mm-hmm. it was the prophet that he'd already said, like, these people are telling, you know, want me to curse the Israel, mm-hmm. you know, another nation. But he's like, ah, that's his people. I'm not going to curse them. And God had already told the prophet,
mm-hmm.
but he kept going back and he's like, okay, I'll get, but he's already told him.
Mm-hmm.
But how often do we keep going back?
Yeah, and he's just like,
but I already told you, I'm not changing the plan. But he did end up, okay, well, now you can do this. But yeah. there wasn't a blessing really attached right. with that.
Yeah.
It was a sign of not honoring God to yeah. keep going back until he gave an answer that satisfied.
Yep.
Recently, there's been a couple that's really vocal in the Christian community. And I love the way she writes and I love their heart. But after like 2 years of research on a particular topic, they came out and it basically was that they said that God does honor this thing that he doesn't
mm-hmm.
honor as holy in God's sight. And I started thinking, you know, if I have to do a whole lot of commentary research on the Word of God
right.
for years to come up with a new revelation that pretty much does not line up with the whole book.
Yeah.
The 66 books, the mm-hmm. whole canon, the whole love letter, maybe part of the love letter, but not all of it, then it's not God's holy plan.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean God doesn't love people and love his children, but I'm going, that helped, it's a litmus test for me.
Yeah.
I'm having to search so hard
mm-hmm.
to make it line up with what I believe is the most loving solution. I'm putting my plan is trumping his plan.
Yeah.
And his plan is always the most loving, even though it may not look like it from human
right,
eyes.
From the world.
We don't see beginning from end.
No. And that's what's hard because we see it, a lot of times we see it, not even for me, a lot of times it's not even through my eyes, it's from other people's eyes. I think of how they're going to see it. And that's not better. Like God's way is always better. And that is really what he showed Caleb and me is just that, you know, I had something more. And I think it was really cool. And Caleb would probably say this too, that he is the man in the relationship and he is the spiritual leader. But in this instance, like I definitely have a gift of discernment. And he has so many other gifts, but I know that God has given me a gift of discernment. And he could tell I wasn't feeling it. And so that's when he kind of came to me and was like, what is God telling you? And he trusted that. He didn't say, I'm the man, I should make the decision.
No.
He trusted me.
There is a beautiful message with John and Lisa Bevere
mm-hmm.
That talks about women were not an afterthought.
No.
They were an answer.
Mm-hmm.
He looking at man was the only time that he said that something wasn't good.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the way that John and Lisa Bevere, they minister together
mm-hmm.
is they really do complement each other. So there is a submissive respective on both sides. They don't complete each other because we're completing Christ.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful example. It's also the way that Bobby and Brian Houston, I love their dynamic
yep.
At Hillsong. The way that they minister and celebrate each other and each other's gifts and respect each other's gifts and kind of go that they can see the strong points in each other.
Yeah.
And they bring it out of each other
mm-hmm.
and they lean into that, you know, going, okay, they're a little more tuned in this area. It's just really beautiful to see.
No, it is.
And I see that in you.
Yeah. It's like, he doesn't have pride that says like, no, I was, because if it would have been up to him, you know, we might have been in the other house. But once I told him how I was feeling, he was like, well, I kind of have felt the same way through praying about it. And I think he just didn't want to disappoint me. And so by me saying that, it was like a green light for him to say, okay, we're going to move on from this. And when we got this house, he just said, oh, Kaylin, hallelujah, that God had something better for us. Like, how amazing that God knew and we didn't, you know. And it was just like, it was a really, really cool, even though it was a messy, like almost like a battle from a couple of weeks and we fought about it and we prayed about it and it was a struggle, but it turned out so beautifully. And I just like want something so trivial like that to be a message to someone just about their life. Like,
and in light of the fact that we're talking about this today, I hope that y'all take the time to go back and read her post Because you did not have the answer when
that's what is really so cool. And I forgot
and
that.
It is a coincidence not that it did go live today on Our City on the
Hill. Oh, well, there, yeah.
And that we would, we did not plan that.
Yeah, we didn't.
At all.
We really didn't. And that is, when you read it, you just have to remember that I did not have the house that we just bought on Sunday. I wrote this last
week.
But
you were trusting and believing.
But I just trusted and believed. And I wish I could say I did that with everything, and I don't, but I'm getting more to it. And I think that he gives us those little things. I wrote this in my prayer journal too. My prayer journal, sorry. That he gives us those trivial things that where we trust in him and have discernment so that when it comes to bigger things, we remember. Like, remember that I gave you, like, the house that you're living in. So, like, you can trust me with this relationship or this sickness or whatever it is. Like, you can trust me with anything. And that's really what I learned from it. And I think that going into the inauguration that we can trust. It doesn't, for a lot of people, it doesn't seem like things are going to go well. I know a lot of people.
It doesn't matter.
But
I mean,
it doesn't
honestly,
matter.
If it had been the flip side, there would have been a whole host of people. It's
who
not going to go well.
No.
If it's this guy, it's not going to. And I can promise you this. If we are relying on humans for it to go well,
it won't.
It will not go
no.
well.
We have too many emotions and too many.
Yeah. My prayer is that has always been that whoever was in office is, dear God, let them hit their knees and be dependent on you, because there's so much going on that we do not see in the spiritual.
Yeah.
And but I do believe there is a just an inflooding that is coming of the Holy Spirit, and that leaders and nations of people of influence that are coming to know the Lord. And we will not see that in the media.
No, we won't. We won't.
Probably not. I mean, maybe we will. But more than likely, we will not see that in the media. Those aren't going to be the stories that are publicized.
Right.
It's going to look on by the media that it's all a debacle and coming to hell in a handbasket.
Yep. Yeah.
But it's always looked like that.
It has. And that's what we have to remember. Like, it's no different. It's different because it's a different person, but it's really and truly no different than it's ever been. And the whole point is that we do have to be in prayer and let God handle it, because he controls the government, our kingdom government. It's not the government that's
and,
the United
and
States
the
government.
The enemy is crafty, but he's not creative.
Yeah.
So his schemes are always to steal, kill, and destroy, and he will get crafty with them and put a new face and a new leader on it and a new terror on it.
Yeah.
And in, you know, a new way to publicize it. But the fight is still the same fight, and he knows his time is short, and that God's plan trumps. And God's plan's already trumped him.
Yeah.
Like, his foot's on his head. It's crushed him.
And I was actually praying about this too, and it was a different, like, word from God than I've ever had before. But I was just kind of thinking, like, okay, God lets the enemy. God doesn't have to let the enemy do anything. And so then I was kind of like, all right, well, God, so why do you let him? And he said, I let the enemy do whatever he thinks he should do to show you how real I am. Like, the enemy is doing things, but I'm doing things better.
What was the quote that I told you? Joni Erickson.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Erickson. Tata, where she said, and I'm probably still going to butcher it,
That's
so look this up, but it was like, he allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. And that was, and she said that was just a quote that had really given her so much relief early on when she had dove in and broken her neck and has been a quadriplegic for over 50 years.
Yeah.
With chronic pain, and listening to someone like that, who you hear such joy, because I'm only listening to audio, I haven't watched her in video, but you can hear the joy in her voice. And then to hear that she's in chronic pain and quadriplegic, and you're going, okay, dear God, I'm so sorry for the times that I've complained. But in my strength, I know that's my nature.
Yeah.
But in you, I can, you know, all things are possible in Christ. And so it really does help. And she said that the cure for depression, it was the sweetest thing. She's like, go find someone less fortunate than you and go help them. She said, you know, I'm a quadriplegic. She goes, I can't take care of myself in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I can't, someone has to make my food. I can't hold a Coke. And she's like, I could waller in that every day. And in my nature, that's where I would be. But when God has given, she goes, he's given me so many opportunities to minister to people that are disabled, that can't move. And she said, the quickest way out of your hole is to find someone else to help.
Yeah.
And we can all help somebody. Right.
Even the people we help can help somebody. Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, you're so right.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. It really, really is. I mean, and for her to say that and be, I mean.
And that's why we're still here. He's like, yeah. Hey, I'm still working my kingdom purpose through my kids.
Yeah.
And so, and you're still here. Like, because I've often thought, okay, so you have the gift of, is it gift of mercy? Like, is that a gift?
Yeah.
Or do you have compassion? Okay, in heaven, we're not going to be, have to serve. Well, not yeah. serve, but there's nobody to help. Is
right, because so we're once, all there
once
working.
Once we get to heaven, yeah. and it's like, you know, and he comes back, and he brings heaven to earth, it's not the same fallen planet anymore. Mm-hmm. It is what he intended, that we're not going to be called to help the least of these.
Because she won't be a quadriplegic. Be no. Yeah, she'll be dancing walking just like us heaven. And dancing, yeah.
And so I was like, that's when we talked about creativity before, like this creative part of us, whether yeah. it be song or dance or art or writing, mm-hmm. we will be doing that in heaven.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Uh-huh.
We're not going to be generating an income.
No. Yeah.
Like, to provide, because and we're provided
what
for.
Did, who was it that said the other day during a message? I know it was from
again,
Holly,
this is what I'm guessing because I haven't been to heaven
yet. Yeah. But he said that we will work. Oh, it was the financial conference. Through Church of Holland that we, and I had actually never heard that before. And he was saying, it's not like you're going to be working for $1 million a year, whatever, like we do
but
here.
You will your
work.
Purpose.
You will work every day. But it won't be, you know, most people now are like, I have to go to work. It's not like that.
Okay.
Like,
this was pointed out to me in a message, mm-hmm. and I remember the aha moment mm-hmm. is prior to the fall, he mm-hmm. was to subdue the earth. I mean, like the yeah. earth, okay, work, okay, it said labor for man. Was hard and labor for women mm-hmm. became hard after the fall. Work was not hard and grueling and painful no. until the fall, but she was always going to go into labor.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have been painful. He was always going to work and have and labor with the land, but labor wasn't painful
yeah.
until after the fall. That and I was like, oh my goodness, that makes total
which
sense.
Which means labor in heaven is going to be joyful.
Right.
You're going to want to do it. Like
what
you said,
we were created
and like
to
if
do.
I was like, I've never really heard that either. If I'm creative and I'm writing in heaven, like, wow, like wow, I hope I'm writing in heaven. You
me
know, like,
too. Like, because
I could just
library.
Do
library.
That all day. Like, uh-huh. oh my
and
God.
All of it will be to bring him glory, which. Is why we're here. I mean,
yeah.
like everything we're doing here. He's mm-hmm. like, you can bring me glory at the gas station. You can bring me mm-hmm. glory wherever. If you're a waitress, if you're the president of the United States, if you're a custodian,
yeah.
if you're a writer, if you're a marketing,
yeah.
you know, somebody's, I'm going, okay, my purpose doesn't change. It's
no.
to bring him glory
yep.
and to enjoy him.
Mm-hmm.
But labor's hard still here because
yeah.
that day has not come.
Right. That's
yeah.
good. That is so good. I love that.
Because I have to admit, I mean, floating around on a cloud, just lazy days, that was a weird heaven to me.
No, me too. And I mean, I thought that for so long, and I almost, like, this sounds so bad, but I was like, I don't want to do that. Like,
it just seems strange. Like, are we all see-through? I mean,
and like, duh, God's like, obviously I didn't want to do that because that's not what God's going to have us to do. When you're little, you know, you think, well, I guess I'll just sit with my wings and my naked angel body. And like,
we don't even become angels.
Yeah.
Like, in forever, I thought we died and became angels.
Me too. And
he never said that.
No, he never did. And, like, what do you say, you know, when someone dies and they're like, oh, she's an angel now. And no.
But if that brings
she's
you comfort your,
right yeah,
now,
she's,
because we're all still kind of, whatever the best understanding we can have.
Mm-hmm.
is nowhere near
right
the magnitude in the no I have seen no
that's why I almost just don't even like try to think
it's gonna be good
it's just gonna be good. I don't even like anymore I'm like excited to be in heaven, but I don't think like, oh, I wonder if it'll be like this. I don't know. My little
Our
mind
best
can't
guess is
yeah.
so far from the greatness
yep like I so again it's all it goes back to that though, like his plan for heaven trumps mine. Like if it was our plan, we would all be like in a swimming pool at a mansion or whatever, and we would get so bored.
And that is all relative. Like, we all have a different definition
yeah.
of what the perfect scenario mm-hmm. would be. So that makes it, is subjective the right word? Like,
mm-hmm.
like we play a role in it?
Yeah.
But it is so sweet to say, I've given you these creative ideas in your head. It's like your best guess. It's still fun to dream about it. You know, he's like, I've put all of those, yeah. those little facets of heaven in you.
So that
just
you
just wait
yeah.
till you
just
see
wait.
Them all.
Wait, there's more.
The kaleidoscope you were going to see. Yeah.
And that, Katie was talking earlier about Jesus's personality and how we kind of just think of him as like, oh, he's Jesus. He does this. He does this. But that he's so like witty and clever and funny. And
he's three-dimensional, not two-dimensional.
Yeah.
And, okay, that's from a book that I'm savoring. Yeah, I saw that. I'm not devouring. I'm really trying to lean on every word.
Well, you said
I think
that.
It's older.
Savoring, so you're reading it slowly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people always make fun of me. The other day, I was like, I've been reading a book, and my friend, I mean, she said it playfully, but she was like, oh, I know how you read books. Because I'll take, sometimes I'll read a book quickly, and there'll be another one that I'm reading for like a year. But I like that.
I usually have three books going about it.
Okay,
once.
Good. I don't feel so crazy now.
And then, like, the ones I read fast are my novels. Like,
yeah.
I love, and I don't even have one of those going right now.
Yeah.
I need a good read. In fact, I think Beth Moore wrote one
mm-hmm.
that's coming out that is a fiction novel.
Oh,
that
yay.
Is like a historical fiction, but it looks good.
Yeah.
All my Karen Kingsbury's that mm-hmm. I used to read, there was a series. It
those
was
are
like
quick
Netflix
reads.
Netflix in a book.
Because you don't have to, like,
it was a storyline.
Yeah, it's easy
this,
flip.
Okay, this was
this
A
one.
Beautiful Outlaw by John Eldridge. And he is most, I think he's a New York Times bestseller for Wild at Heart. Would be one of his best known
oh.
books. And,
yes.
Oftentimes people get, that's for the men, and then Captivating was kind
for
of the
women.
For the women.
Mm-hmm.
And
did he write Captivating too, or just Wild at
his
Heart?
His wife wrote Captivating.
Yes, okay.
And so the Beautiful Outlaw was experiencing the playful, disruptive, extravagant personality of Jesus. And so this morning I had just read, you cannot live a life on one quality any more than you can speak intelligently using one word.
That's good.
That if, what did it say? Okay. That's just, I was on my elliptical with my highlighter. Said, oh, this was good. Okay. Young writers are encouraged to find their voice because it is personality that distinguishes a good novel from a phone book.
Yeah.
Both are filled with words, but only one is worth reading.
That's
personality
good.
Is what distinguishes real music from elevator music. How is it possible to genuinely and consistently love anything two-dimensional? Loving and compassionate is like trying to love a get-well card. He said that oftentimes people just camp on the qualities of Jesus, like that he's loving and compassionate. And he is loving and
yeah.
compassionate. But they'll stay there, only there, making... And he goes, that's like loving a greeting card.
Yeah.
But he was also playful. And he
mm-hmm.
was... And, oh, they gave a great example of the... there was the story about the Canaanite woman that said, will you come help my daughter? She is demon-possessed. And he ends up saying, if you're just reading the words, he goes, I came for my Israelite children. And she goes, even the dogs get the scraps
mm-hmm.
from the children's table. And so if you just read that, it sounds kind of harsh.
Yeah.
And like some people have made their entire Christian theology around,
mm-hmm.
well, he just says it like he is.
Yeah.
But he goes, but what if he had kind of a grin on his face when
yeah.
he said it? Because he ends up going, she says, Lord, help me. And he said, it is not right to take the children's bread. This is what he says. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Lord, yes, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that very hour. It's so different the way you read it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he's looking at her going, come on, come on.
Yeah,
like,
you got
versus
it.
Versus a finger in her face.
Yeah.
And what I have noticed in the scriptures is that really the only person he pointed at were the Pharisees.
Yeah.
You know, like the adulterous woman's my favorite story.
Mm-hmm.
That he is looking at her compassionately, but he's shaking his finger
behind
him. And,
mm-hmm.
and he's talking sweet to her, and they all leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just think that it's like, gosh, we've got to remember, if children flocked to him, he was not scary.
He was not scary, no.
No,
that
says children had this innate sense of, is he safe? Safe in the fact that, because he wasn't safe.
Yeah.
Safe. I mean, he was he was not tame.
Yeah.
But he was, like, safe. Children
yes.
were safe in his presence.
And they know that. They know that.
They do know
mm-hmm.
that. And they can sense that.
Mm-hmm.
The Pharisees missed it.
Yeah.
But not all of them. Some came around. Nicodemus came around.
Yeah. That is a really good
point. Which leads you to believe there's more. Like,
yeah.
Because he couldn't tell all the stories. So if Nicodemus, who... you know, came in secret, but then ends up with that kingly, mm-hmm. you know, anointing him in public. And, like, you're going, there were other Pharisees that came around.
Yeah.
Which gives you such great hope for today. There's a lot of Pharisees that are coming around.
Yeah.
They're going to drop it at an old age because it's so hard for mm-hmm. the necessary endings. That's another one I'll put in the show notes. It's a book by Henry Cloud, who is a Christian psychologist.
Okay.
But he wrote a book, I believe, that just came out called Necessary Endings, how we have to let go of some things. And it is so hard, especially the older we get. He goes, there's been CEOs of companies that have always, they're holding on to the old way.
Yeah.
And you've got to have necessary endings to step into God's new, that That's his good. Plan trumps
yep.
our plan. Yeah. And I don't even know where I was going with that.
No, but. No, that's good. And it all ties right together that, like, his plan trumps our plan because he is three-dimensional. That's yeah. almost time for us to wrap
up. Oh, gosh,
but,
okay.
But, yeah, but he doesn't think like us. He is playful and kind and compassionate and funny and serious.
He doesn't beat us up.
He loves better than any. He is love. So because of that, because of all of his many characteristics that are all good, that's why his plan trumps our plan always. Because by ourselves, we aren't good without him.
I have pictured, like, in my head before, like, the way that we beat ourselves up
yeah.
with shame or mm-hmm. whatever. That instead of, like, I often think of me crawling in his lap, but when I felt really shameful, the last thing I thought was, like, he doesn't really want to be around me. And this is the weirdest analogy, mm-hmm. but a puppy that kind of gets up under you
yeah.
and wants more than anything to nuzzle up under you, mm-hmm. I feel like he does it to us sometimes.
Yeah.
That he, like, comes up, like, beside us and hits yeah. us with his shoulder and is like, no, I still want to hang out
yeah.
with you. And, like, he'll kind of hit you in the head with his head. And
yep.
That he really is our best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we kind of get back to that and we turn our gaze back off of ourselves and, mm-hmm. and the shame and whatever it is that makes us think that he wouldn't want our company, it's like then we realize the majesty that his lap is wide open.
Yep.
It's kind of like you flip back over and then you crawl back up in his lap.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just so sweet.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little visual.
All right. So time for lightning round. Okay. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I hope that. We were all over the place with lots of stories, but all to say that he's greater than us. And no matter who's the president or where you are, what you're doing, your job or buying a house, getting married, raising kids, whatever, his plan always trumps your plan. So it's all going to be
great. And don't get so caught up in the, gosh, if I don't get the right house,
yeah.
or get the right car, is that if we lay it all before him, and we really are like, whatever your plan is, mm-hmm. you know, help. And then we just go on.
Just
with
move
it.
On. Yeah.
Make
don't
a decision
don't keep
and
dwelling.
Move forward.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Do you remember what the question was?
I know one was.
Let's just do one.
Oh, where'd your name come from? Why did your parents name you?
Have we said that before? I feel like I've actually told mine.
Have you?
Mine was, I'm Catherine, and my dad's sister was Catherine. She died when she was 5 in appendicitis.
I don't know this, so maybe you've never told this.
Okay. We had this old painting in our house of this girl and this, like, if you can picture just old paintings. Like,
yeah.
There was this big, a little girl, about 5. I never knew until I was older that it was actually my namesake. And this Swedish little coat and a little hat that matched, and just, it looked very antique.
Yeah.
I actually thought they might have just bought this antique.
Yeah.
Well, it was his sister who he never met.
Oh.
She died at 5 and just from an appendicitis. So that's why my mom was always such a freak when I had a stomach ache.
Yeah.
And mine actually did burst when I was 16.
How
but
crazy.
But that was where I got my name.
So your name is Catherine.
I'm Catherine.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
So Katie is what you go by, but Catherine.
Yeah. That's where my name came from.
My name, my mom actually, her name is Christy Lynn. Her middle name is Lynn. So she wanted to name me Katie Lynn, which I always told her I wish she would have. I think that's so cute. But that's how she got the Lynn from her middle name and then Katie Lynn, and she put it together for Caitlin. But my name means pure.
Me
and
too.
Does it?
Yes.
Oh, how cool.
Catherine and Caitlin. And
both
I've done a lot. And actually, pure. Virginia, my daughter's name.
Means pure as well?
She's double portion. Like, Virginia, it means pure, and Catherine means pure. I did not
know
that when I named her that.
I didn't either.
I known that my name meant pure, maybe I would have stepped into my destiny sooner than later.
Well, I remember thinking always when I was, like, little, And growing up, and I was always like, oh, like, I'm pure. Like, it kept me, like, always thinking
gosh,
that.
Gosh, I wish I had known.
Yeah, I mean, not that I didn't. I, like, still messed up, of course, but it was, like, there was always, I knew, even when I messed up, like, there was a purity about me. Like, I knew that.
Oh,
and
that's beautiful.
I forgot what my name, the reason I knew that is because my parents got me a bookmark when I was little that had the meaning of my name and, like, a Bible verse with it. And it's, like, Caitlin, purity, and then the Bible verse. But about a month ago, Toya posted a picture of me and her, and she like, put that. She's like, Caitlin, like, embodies what her name means, which is purity. And I was like, I forgot. I was like, I forgot that's what my name meant. And I was like, oh, what a sweet little reminder.
I wrote a blog post about what's in a name and how our names, like, stepping into the destiny. And this is a word of hope for you. If you happen to have a name that has in any way, like, a negative stigma to it.
Yeah.
Think about how God changes our name.
Yeah. I mean, he changed so many names in the
Jacob
Bible.
Jacob to Israel, yes. Yeah. From deceiver to... And so, whatever your name... Find out. If you don't know, kind of look it up and see what your name means. And it's just really... Yeah.
It is cool. Yeah. It's cool.
Okay.
Okay. Is that the only question today?
I think that's the
only
one today.
Yeah, we're running long. We've talked a lot. Okay. So, he trumps me... Remember that. Take that. Hide it away in your heart.
And just circle Friday.
Yeah, be praying.
The United States of America. Just inauguration day. That a new season is coming in. And his plan trumps ours. So just keep circling our leaders.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, have a great day. Great night. Great
peace
week.
Out.
Bye.
Bye.